So that's why Sri Krishna says that if you want to know the kshetra in detail, you go to the Veda, you go to the Upanishad, you go to Brahma Sutra. And Brahma Sutra contains within itself a kind of a synthesis in which Sankhya plays a great role. The Brahma Sutra itself is not a Sankhya philosophy. It takes over within its embrace all that is said in Sankhya, but goes beyond it. You might say that the Sankhya of the Brahma Sutra is Vedantic Sankhya. It's not pure Sankhya, it is Vedantic. It's a body of Vedanta. Vedanta is nothing but the culmination of Veda. Culmination of Veda is Upanishads. But these Upanishads, when described philosophically, is called Vedanta philosophy. Upanishad is a Vedanta spirituality, spiritual knowledge. It is also Vedanta, but it's a spiritual Vedanta. Brahma Sutra is a philosophical Vedanta. So in this philosophical statement of Brahma Sutra, we have the entire body of Sankhya incorporated and gone beyond. It's transcendence of the Sankhya. But Sankhya is taken up. Now in Sankhya, there are two very important statements. And both these statements are incorporated in the Vedanta. But more than that also is added to it. What are these two statements? I would like to state this because this is the most important part in all the six chapters, which says that Purusha and Prakriti are the fundamental principles of all existence. The totality of existence can be understood in terms of Prakriti and all its modifications, plus Purusha. If you put these two together, there is nothing which remains to be known except Purusha and Prakriti. Now, Prakriti is in the beginning avyakta, is unmanifest. Now, this unmanifest Prakriti begins to manifest. Now, this beginning of manifestation is caused by Purusha. The Purusha glances at Prakriti, which is unmanifest, and the moment it glances at it, Prakriti begins to manifest. It is as it were, Purusha commands Prakriti, look, I want to see you, therefore she unfolds herself. The bombardment of manifestation is caused by the glance of Purusha, which is a kind of a command. I want to see you. And then Prakriti says, I unfold myself. It begins to manifest. And the very first manifestation is called Mahat or Buddhi. The very first manifestation is the vast, Mahat. It's like a bombardment and the vast is manifested. Something like the bang theory. So there's a bang, as it were, on the avyakta Prakriti, and with that bang, the Prakriti begins to manifest. So that large manifestation is called Mahat. The first thing is Mahat. It's also called Buddhi because Buddhi's function is to discriminate. The entire movement of Prakriti moves on the basis of division, discrimination. The whole dividing movement which is manifested in Prakriti. In Prakriti, every movement is a dividing movement. It's a movement of discrimination. That is the function of Buddhi, Therefore, the Mahat is called Buddhi. It also distinguishes between Purusha and Prakriti. It's a discriminating power. It is Buddhi which can discriminate between Purusha and Prakriti. Ultimately, it is by the virtue of Buddhi that Purusha, who was observing Prakriti all the time, recognizes that it is itself a knower. It is not itself that known. Discriminates between that which is known and that which knows. It is by virtue of Buddhi that this discrimination comes about in the perceiving, observing Purusha. It is that which awakes the Purusha, as it were, saying, are you now satisfied with the observation? And now you withdraw, you come back to yourself.